This year's Ash Wednesday was one that was marked with great tragedy, particularly for the families of 17 people killed by a 19-year-old in a South Florida high school. The news coverage of the aftermath was, if you caught any of it, was gut-wrenching, as we heard family members grieving for the loss of their loved one. And I remember a doctor asking, when is it going to stop? People were again asking how we can prevent such things from happening. Is it tighter gun restrictions? Is it putting metal detectors or security guards at schools? Is it greater awareness and education about what to do in those situations and recognizing, you know, strange behavior? You know, those are all legitimate questions to have. But notice that they are all directed at the latter end of preventative measures. In other words, as important as those discussions are, these measures simply try to deter actions of disturbed individuals and not address the disturbed individuals themselves and a society that cultivates such behavior. So no matter how locked down we make our schools to try to prevent such tragedies, such measures only move the place of tragedies to a less secure place, as we've seen in recent history, to movie theaters and concert venues, to churches and nightclubs, and to music festivals and sporting events. And if it's not guns, it'll be bombs, as we've seen at the Boston Marathon and in many other countries. We have already spent billions and billions of tax money on airport security. Imagine if we tried doing that everywhere. We would no longer be living in the land of the free, but rather in a police state. So as important as it is, again, it is to have that discussion about the balance between preventative measures and our freedoms, all those things do not really get to the heart of the matter. These types of measures are merely band-aids to the root problems that plague modern society, which all stem from broken, hardened, and unconverted hearts. Nicholas Cruz of that South Florida shooting had a broken, hardened, and unconverted heart. Stephen Paddock of the Las Vegas shooting had a broken, embittered, and unconverted heart. The Boston bomber, Johar Tsarnaev, had a disillusioned, hardened, and unconverted heart. And they all chose to take it out on the rest of humanity. These shootings and even, you know, the whole Me Too movement and the many other social ills have all uncovered and revealed that we as a society have lost any sense of morality, our sense of what is right and what is wrong, and our sense of the dignity of every human person. That every human being is precious and inviolable. The commandment to love our neighbor has gone by the wayside because we no longer even know our neighbor now. So isolated that much of our world has become as we simply get lost in an anonymous virtual world. And with the decline of church involvement and the religious practices that come with an authentic belief in God, most of our society has lost the primary way that our country formed its moral fiber, that our country received our moral formation. And that was through faithful attendance to at least weekly church services. Sunday was sacred, but families by and large today have chosen a different path, choosing secular pursuits on the Lord's Day. And we've reaped the consequences. In the last few decades, we've seen that marked decline in attendance at Mass and for our brothers, Protestant brothers and sisters, Sunday service, as well as family faith formation evenings in the middle of the week that were popular. Those periods were the regular weekly reminder of our sense of duty to one another, our weekly reminder that we are not the center of the world and that there is much greater meaning to our life than the consumerism and the rat race that can so consume our existence. Those times were our regular weekly reminder of the virtues that are so needed, that make marriage, family, and societies work and thrive, such as the virtues of self-sacrifice, justice, fortitude, temperance, prudence, faith, hope, and love. And in place of those, we get the very opposite, right? Because and most of all, these times here at church were our country's weekly reminder that in the midst of a very fallen world, we nevertheless are loved, and that we are not alone, and that no matter how bad things get, no matter what evil has been committed, no matter what personal hell is going through our lives, those evils will never ultimately be victorious, because God has come into our world in Jesus Christ and given evil its definitive death blow. Now, assuming that church is not just a cultural practice, but we truly encounter the living God here, you and I, as ones who regularly go to church, take this hope for granted. But imagine living an existence without that hope, that this world and the madness that it exhibits far too often are all that there is. Especially now that we deal not only with our own personal struggles, but in this hyper-connected world, we are now barraged with the bad news from all around that's going on in the world, right? How can one who doesn't know God, the reality of God, not despair? Or at least be cynical or jaded? With the aftermath of the sexual revolution and the advent of the internet, those days in which we may have grown up, when our country had an underlying Christian foundation and ethos, are long gone. Maybe it's hard for us to relate to this moral vacuum facing this generation, because maybe you went to Catholic school. But there is a whole generation of parents now that do not even know a lick about who Jesus is, much less introduce them to their kids. The only thing that a lot of our kids have heard about Jesus are the slander and the stereotypes and the lies in our pop culture. So we see the dire need of our world for those regular reminders of the good news once again in the midst of all the bad news. We are in dire need of the good news, dire need of the moral formation that we're so blessed to receive here, because they're certainly not finding it out there. Who are the shapers of morality in the secular world today? In place of the Lord Jesus and the Mother Church, for our moral formation, our youth have been raised by the moral formation of the media and pop culture. They surely get much more exposure to screen time than they do to parents. And what virtues are upheld there? The hedonism of Hollywood, the consumerism, commercialism of New York, the political ideologies of both left and right in Washington, D.C. Now, there are many great folks in those cities, saints even, and I think those cities are national treasures. But I'm speaking, of course, of the institutions that occupy the halls of power there and hold sway throughout the country. You even have ESPN, the NFL, and the NBA posing as moral authorities these days, preaching morality to us. That's like Father Brian and I thinking we're Bill Belichick and Tom Izzo, right? Thinking we're masterminds about how to best play football and basketball without having the time and the study of those sports. Today, Jesus isn't even given a shot because he and Christianity are so mischaracterized and mocked left and right. We too often forget that there are powers, spiritual powers at work, of which we do not know or give credence, led by the prince of this world, the father of lies. And so today's gospel is right on target. The gospels speak of Jesus' 40 days in the desert in preparation for his public ministry, and is illustrated by this image here. It was not a time of fun and games out there in the desert. Mark is pretty brief in his description of those 40 days, but the other synoptic gospels are clear that he goes out there to engage and do battle, spiritual battle with Satan, the prince of this world. And you can see the deception and the crafty temptations to pride, to power, and to sensual desires that he places before Jesus, the very downfalls of humanity today. Pride, power, the abuse of power, and sensual desires that wreak havoc on marriages and families. And Jesus conquers and defeats them with the power of God's truth. We too need to enter into these 40 days and engage in battle with the demons that tempt us. That's precisely what these 40 days of Lent are about, to conquer our demons that keep Jesus Christ from utilizing you and me, and so prepare for the work of the gospel ahead. More than ever, our society needs Jesus' message that we just heard. Repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news. And it's the church's duty to proclaim that good news, to provide that hope for a hurting world, and to provide an example amidst our community itself that there is a better way to live, that there are still people who look out for one another. Maybe you haven't felt the urgency of Jesus' great commission that he gives you and me to go and make disciples. Maybe you haven't sensed the urgency of the new evangelization and how desperately the world needs the gospel. Maybe it's because we still think the world that we grew up in, right? But I hope that if there's any good to come out of these horrible tragedies and the moral chaos in our country today, I hope it's to help wake us up to realize that we're no longer in Kansas anymore. And to realize just how needed you are, because Jesus makes you and me his heralds, his ambassadors. From this first Sunday of Lent to the beginning of Easter, the Easter Triduum, that is, on Holy Thursdays, there are precisely 40 days. How will you spend your time in the desert and engage in spiritual battle? And so I encourage you to use this Lord's Day to discern and commit to how you will make this Lent of 2018 a fruitful one. And as usual, our staff has worked hard to assist us in doing that, providing every opportunity at all the days of the week, different days of the week, if we would only prioritize them in our lives. So I want to go over a few of them to help you in your discernment, to give you the possibilities of how to engage in this spiritual battle, right? On Wednesday evenings, not just during Lent, but each and every Wednesday evening, we have Catholicism 101 at 6:30. We have Bible studies both on Tuesdays and Thursdays during the day. We have Gamma group on Sunday evenings. On Thursday evenings, we have Alpha. There are still 4 sessions remaining in that. Remember that Alpha is that baby step, that low-level entry point for those who are searching, that might not even want to darken the door of a church, but they're searching for the meaning of life, may not know much about Jesus Christ and Christianity at all. But maybe you hesitate about bringing someone there because you don't know what it'll be like. Well, I invite you to sample it out this Lent and find out. Just contact Shane Slough at the parish office, as a heads up is helpful for the tasty dinners that we have. So if Thursdays are best, check out Alpha, starting with dinner at 6 p.m. On Fridays have a special meaning for Catholics during Lent, because that's the day Jesus suffered and died on the cross. And so it's the day that we take on our penance in a special, intentional way. Next Friday, we have twice a year, we have that O Come, Let Us Adore Him, a powerful night of adoration led by Father Brian this year, as this is transformed into a candlelit sanctuary, and Jesus is processed around. And it's often outside of this normal context of Mass where we sometimes we get into just habit and we forget the significance of things. And it takes us something outside of that normal context to realize that the Lord of Lords is present to us. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. So that's next Friday beginning at 7 p.m. On the first three Fridays of March, we have a series of talks by Focus missionary Joseph Gruber. You've heard of our diocesan-wide evangelization initiative, Grow and Go. You see a banner for that over there. Many of us have the desire to reach out to those folks that we listed in our personal evangelization plan, those folks that we desire to see back in the sacramental life of the church, but we just don't know how. We don't know how to invite and accompany them back without seeming like a Jesus freak or feeling like we might distance them away rather than bring them back. Well, Joseph Gruber has been doing this for 8 years with college students with great success. And he wants to show us how to go about doing that in our daily life. How to be evangelizers, how to be those intentional disciples in our daily life. And so it's a three-part talk, three talks, three Fridays, win, build, send. It's the model that Focus missionaries use, again, to much great success throughout the country in college campuses. You know, there are 13,000 of them were at the SLS conference earlier this January. So please mark that on your calendars, the first three Fridays of March. On March, speaking of first Friday, March, or the Friday during Lent, on March 9 and 10, we'll take part in a worldwide initiative from Pope Francis called 24 Hours of the Lord, for the Lord, I should say. So from Friday night, after the Joseph Gruber talk here, at 7 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday, we will have 24 hours of prayerful adoration at St. Joseph Oratory. It's going to be a regional event. So all of the Jackson parishes will be taking part, and all the priests will be taking part. During those 24 hours, we'll not only have adoration, but a priest will be on duty hearing confessions throughout the 24 hours, even at 3 a.m. in the morning. So after Joseph's talk here, we head over there for the 24 hours that commences on March 9. And finally, we have the MAN event. The final event I'd like to highlight is the MAN event next Saturday. There is a crisis in fatherhood. Many of the mental and emotional issues we're having today stem from a father wound. Whether it's neglect or even abuse. Society needs strong fathers as it needs strong mothers to fulfill that void of daily formation of our youth in cultivating the virtues needed in life and for a just society. So you can see there's no shortage of opportunities here at St. John, right? In conclusion, then, from this first Sunday of Lent to the beginning of the Easter Triduum, 40 days, how will you spend your time in the desert? Will you allow the devil, the things of this world, and our plain busyness tempt you out of the preparation that we need as the body of Christ to minister to a hurting world? If we do, we have no right to be in a rage over what happened in South Florida, because we ourselves are not willing to make the sacrifices it takes for a better world. So let's do this. Let's take care of our little portion of Jackson County with which God has entrusted us, and bring to it the hope of the good news that springs eternal.